What is going on, YouTube? Sam, it's been a while since we had some technical difficulties here on FPL Family, but they're back with a vengeance. Genuinely, that's the first time I've messed up on the technical issues for quite some time, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, to be fair. So well done, guys. Thank you for making it to the stream. Those of you that were waiting in the scheduled stream, I don't know what I did. I scheduled a stream and then I hit go live and then it chucks it in a new one. I don't know. Anybody that knows what they're doing with YouTube, I should do. Been here 3.5 years, should know what I'm doing. I don't. But anyway, thank you guys for finding us eventually. I'm just going to move this microphone up a little bit so that not too much in.
Oh, there's real technical things going on tonight.
That should be a little bit better. There we go. That should be a little bit better. Guys, welcome to the live stream. This is our game week 4 and 5 live stream here with FPL Family. And forgive me if you find me in a slightly somber mood, because of course, happy with the 3-0 win at Elland Road for Liverpool today. But poor old Harvey Elliott, what a terrible looking ankle injury that is for the young man. We don't like to see that.
We definitely don't, but if there's any light in it, it doesn't seem like it's quite as bad as we all feared when it originally happened.
Well, there was this Instagram post and he sort of gave a thumbs up. And
but he was also waving.
Okay, I guess.
I said to you, didn't I, when he was being carried off the pitch, sometimes when they've broken a leg or whatever, they're literally just lying there with gas and air. Whereas he did wave at the crowd and I thought, okay, that's positive at least, and it seems like it maybe was a dislocation rather than a break. So if that's the case, then hopefully it's not as bad as we all fear. But yeah, get well soon, Harvey Elliott.
Fingers crossed for the young man, because not only was he having a fantastic season, he had a great year at Blackburn and he was becoming a regular in Klopp's team. Now, first things first, Sam, talk to us about what's in your hand. This is a kind of a cool thing that we need to share with you guys. Just because if I didn't bring it up straight away, it looked as if you were completely ignoring me and just reading the paper. So
I was trying to, we've had a funny week in our house this week, and
it's been a weird week, isn't it?
Yeah. So I was thinking, before we go live, I must remember to find the page in the newspaper.
Yes.
And then I forgot.
Yes.
And
right,
as you've hit go live, I was like, oh no.
Go on then. So what is this newspaper all about? Let's have a look. This is a Finnish newspaper, right? A Scandinavian newspaper. Who's in there?
Me!
The one and only.
Can you see?
Sam from FPL Family. There she is. So tell us about this. How did this come about? And by the way, any Finns that are in this evening, anybody from Finland, welcome. And you can translate some of this stuff for us. How did it come about? Tell us.
So Billy wrote to me, who is the sports editor for this...
For HBL. Very good.
Finnish newspaper. And he was like, we're doing an article on fantasy football.
Yes.
And would you like to comment? And I was like, yeah. And he sent me some questions. I mean, I can't read them, so I don't know if he's printed what I actually said.
It's all in Flemish, right?
But it was quite exciting when it arrived. I was like, blimey. So can I have a picture of you? And I was like, yeah.
There you are. In the local Finnish rag. Absolutely sensational. So there we go. Sam famous in Finland for a week or so. Sam, lots to discuss tonight. Lots to discuss, including your wild card.
Oh, gosh.
Very important, this, guys. We need to get this out there from the off. As it stands, you have hit the wildcard button. It is active. And later on, we will be talking about your 1.0 draft. Of course, it's a 1.0 draft because loads of tinkering, loads of price drops to avoid, rises to catch over the next week or so. I have not yet, but I am very tempted. I have to say, I'm very tempted.
Some big price changes going to happen tonight.
And I can't help but feel, and we'll be talking about our teams, guys, as we get towards the end of the live stream and how we got on this week, but I can't help but feel game week 4 was a good time to wildcard. If you wildcarded last week and you changed the dynamic of your team and put more money up front in either Ronaldo or Lukaku, based on what we saw this weekend, that seems like it was the right thing to do, either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, we shouldn't forget, of course, that the big money hitters in the middle also did well this weekend. Just
not
quite
bad,
as
yes,
well
not
as the guys up top. But yeah, I mean, I think we were all... Well, I was going to speak for everybody, but I'll speak for myself. I think I was in a place with my team where I actually didn't mind it, and I kept looking at it thinking, I quite like that as a team, but... There was obviously, in the back of my mind, always the moment where I was kind of thinking, could game week 5 be the right time? And to be honest, it was all about what Chelsea did at the weekend that made me hit that button.
Right.
Because I was fully prepared to wait for game week 7. That was the plan, and just ride through the next couple of weeks. But
Yeah. Well, listen, I absolutely have still got my wild card earmarked for game week 7, as I have said all along. But I look at those next two fixtures for Chelsea and thought in the past, yes, they look very difficult. But all of a sudden, that Spurs performance at the weekend might just change my mind because it was pretty bloody awful.
Forget the performance. We've got injury to Eric Dier. Bad news. Romero gets out of his weird sort of half quarantine in Europe the day before the Chelsea game. Yeah.
But has been training,
but what, just with Lo Celso.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
Tanganga suspended.
I mean, basically, we haven't got back line.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that Lukaku Spurs performance against Crystal Palace, because I have to say, not to Crystal Palace, who I thought were very good.
Yeah. Zaha.
Zaha's up there, but I want to talk about a certain Englishman in midfield, Mr. Gallagher. I thought was fantastic. More
didn't
on
have
him,
a card for him
a bit later on. I thought the new boy Edouard also played well when he came on, put himself about. But I do want to also talk about that Spurs performance, because all of a sudden,
Well, listen,
if you play like that against Chelsea, you will get smashed. There's no
international break has come at the wrong time. We were on a bit of a high.
It has.
Everything was going well.
It has.
International break's killed everybody.
Well,
everyone's injured.
The momentum has gone. The momentum has gone. But what I will say was, when we went to the game against Watford at the Spurs Stadium, there was some red flags there for me. I must admit, I was not impressed with the way that Spurs played. And I wasn't that impressed with the way you went to Molineux either. So more on that later on, at the risk of getting several death stares, guys, tonight, which is bound to happen. We also need to discuss Mr. Antonio. What a silly boy. As you can see there on the side of the live stream, what was he up to there? Two yellow cards in the space of not very long. One where he just got frustrated and just, I don't know, got in a bit of a tussle and pushed Stevens to the floor. And actually, I watched it on Match of the Day. Stevens gives the bench a little wry smile as if to say, I'm in his head here. And his head just went, because then about 10, 15 minutes later, he's lunging in and red card. I mean, one game banned for Antonio. Now we've got a decision to make, haven't we? Particularly you, as a wild carder, have got a big decision to make. Because if you sell, you're going to lose the value. But he comes, I don't think we're expecting too much from him from Manchester United next week anyway. So wouldn't say you'd be benching him against Man U, but maybe we weren't expecting too much. Now, all of a sudden, it's a big dilemma for wildcarders and a big... Hold on a minute.
Yeah, Swatkins is in.
Ollie Swatkins is in. Here he is, the daddy long legs himself, Swatkins. I tell you, if that lands on my head, I'll be going mental. I've got to catch that in a minute. There he is, Swatkins. That is is that a sign to get him in on your wildcard? Swatkins.
I hate daddy long legs.
Do you want to get it?
No.
Do we need to sort this out? Is this going to bother you throughout the stream?
You are never going to be able to catch that with all this equipment around.
If it's going to bother you throughout the stream, I will get it, because I need you fully focused on the stream.
Oh, it's coming quite close.
Guys. What? We do need to sort this out. Oh my God. Should we leave the camera on while this happens?
I'm not happy, but where the hell has it gone?
Where's it gone?
Lee.
Where's it gone? Right, guys, wait there. I've got to catch Swatkins. Where's he gone? Ollie? Ollie?
No, seriously, where has it gone?
Where is he? It's totally gone.
God. Oh, what's there?
There he is. I'll see if I can catch him humanely.
Did you catch it? Have you caught him?
I've got him humanely, that's it. No problem, guys, no need to write in.
You're not going
to
be able to get your hand out that window.
I'm going to have to go out here.
The front door's locked.
Front door's locked. No, you stay there. I will sort it out. You do stay there.
Put it out the back door. Ugh. Hate daddy long. Chat is just so full of you laughing. I hate daddy long legs, they freak me out. Aren't they like the most poisonous animal, but they have no ability to give it to you?
Fun fact, have got nothing with which to administer the venom. And now I've got to get back in here without damage.
The guys are finding it's all quite amusing by the amount of emojis that are in the chat. Oh my
I've
life.
I've got to get in here without bashing the camera. This is going to be difficult.
I'm quite impressed with you, by the way, for getting rid of him so easily.
Well, the thing was, if I hadn't sorted that out, guys, thank you for bearing with me. If I haven't sorted that out.
No, I was totally gone.
You would not have been able to do the live stream.
No, I was.
And every 5 minutes, you'd have been.
Feeling a bit funny. It came right at me.
Right, so there we go, guys. That is the first 10 minutes of the live stream. Absolute waffle and nonsense. Catching insects. Not an FPL bit of advice insight, guys. As you have come to expect on FPL Family, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. We need to begin to say hello to a few people.
I don't think anyone's saying hello. Everyone's just laughing at us.
Everyone's just laughing. Let's go to the main page.
Oh, dear. There's
the Twitter on the left-hand side. And let's say hello to a few people, Sam. Finn McCann is in Liverpool. We're going to win the league.
Aren't you, next week?
Well, I am going next week. And I must admit, I'm looking forward to going to Anfield for the first time in... Before COVID.
I'm not going.
I've been to Spurs, I've been to a couple of other grounds, we've been to Norwich, but this is the first time I've been to Anfield since before COVID, and I, for one, cannot wait to get up there next week. It is going to be so good. Tips is in. Hey, Tips, Harry is here. Obviously, a pretty happy man, I would guess. Chelsea looking good.
Should have thought so.
Looking very, very good indeed, Tips. Let us know what you think of your boys. I think they're absolutely right up there. Within shout for the title. If not, title favourites. Say it quietly. I mean, they're absolutely doing bits. Abhishek is in. Thank you, Abhishek, for the super chat. No Kane, no problem. Spurs are not investable, Abhishek says. And Duncan's back in with the super chat. Thank you, Duncan. One of our patrons says, yesterday was amazing. Felt like I was 13 again. Cristiano Ronaldo. On a separate note, thoughts are with Harvey Elliott and wish him a speedy recovery. Yes, well, absolutely, Duncan. Absolutely. Ronaldo, then? Lived up to the hype? We spent all week hyping him up?
Yeah, I mean...
The script was there, wasn't it? I mean, neither of us is shocked by that performance of the two goals, right?
I don't think anyone expected anything less, did they?
No, exactly.
I was watching it, and when they said that Man United had scored, I thought, Ronaldo then?
You know what's happened. And a lot of the rhetoric, I saw some of this on Twitter about, well, the first one, the goalkeeper's got to save it, and he's just in the right place.
No, but that's what he's there for.
The second one goes through, the goalkeeper says, goalkeeper's got to save it. Don't get me wrong, I think he will be sending Woodman a Christmas card, right? Because the goalkeeper didn't cover himself in glory. But
that's what he's there for. He's a poacher.
That's what he's there for. Now. He's a poacher. And I saw the analysis on Match of the Day. I watched it with my own eyes and I just thought, yeah, okay, this guy's lacking maybe...
As opposed to with someone else's
with eyes. Someone else's eyes. Okay, he might be lacking a bit of turn of pace. And by the way, not as much as I thought. He's still pretty rapid for 36. So he might be lacking a turn of pace. But what he has got is...
the same age as you.
Different sort of physique.
I mean, and he's still doing that. He's still doing bits.
Do you want to compare me to Cristiano Ronaldo anymore? Or is this going to stop? Otherwise, I can bring the daddy long legs back in. It's really not an issue. Really not an issue. We can stop with that right now. But I'm very impressed with him. Very impressed with him.
I was too.
It was a very good performance indeed.
And the thing is that, you know, yeah, all right, he might occasionally score a world, the Bruno Fernandes, by the way. But I'm just as happy, you know, I think if you've got him in your FPL team, you take a tap in from 4 foot, won't you?
Well, you absolutely would. Doesn't matter whether you've got if you're a Bruno owner and he's scored from 30 yards, 40 yards, or whether you've got a tap in for Ronaldo, it's largely the same amount of points, isn't it? It's all FPL points at the end of the day.
100%.
We'll talk more about the Manchester United setup when we get to that game, because I thought Bruno actually, okay, worldie, happy to see it as a Bruno owner, but not in those areas, not enough touches in the box. Not enough shots in the box.
Yeah.
Whereas Mr. Ronaldo, different story, right? Keeper should have done better on both of them. But his intelligent movement, the way that they were working already, and I get it, Newcastle, rubbish defensively, already look like whipping boys, don't they, Newcastle, a little bit? Potentially defensive. No, they do, absolutely. However, he's got some more difficult defences to play in the next few weeks, which makes me lean towards maybe the Chelsea man, Big Ron. But more on that a bit later on. Let's get to the other Super Chats. Ratan Kunda, thank you for the super chat. Hi, Lee and Sam. Is Eric Dier out for long? Should I switch him to Marcel or Matty? Just a word on Eric Dier briefly before we get to the game.
I don't know how long he's out for. They haven't said yet.
Calf injury, right?
But I would suspect a while, given the way that he limped out. And I think given the Spurs fixtures in the next few weeks, I would 100% swap for Wolves.
Okay. All right. And Cy Badette. Hey, Cy. He is saying, let's see the wild card that Daddy Longlegs would have played. Absolutely love it. He would have had Romelu Lukaku.
Come back.
And Ronaldo. Liam Healy. Hey, Liam, how are we doing, mate? Nice to see you. Evening, Lee and Sam. He says 70 points this game week.
Nice.
Overall rank of 243k.
Very nice.
Very nice, Liam. Good start to the season, which I'm very pleased to see, mate, because I think start of the season for last, if I remember rightly, Liam's a long-term supporter, patron of the channel. Didn't get off to the best start and then rescued it towards the end of the last season, but he's got off to a good start this season, Liam. So we love to see it, mate. We love to see it. Raheem Khan is in. Very nice to see you, Raheem. Gopal is in. How are we doing, Gopal? Clinton is here. How are we doing, Clinton? Nice to see you. Tuhin Deb is in. Nice to see you. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. And James Ward, Jamie Tyler, Gervin... Gervin. Zawa. Let's just say Zawa. Or we could just say Gervan. Sorry, Gervan, for the absolute...
You just slaughtered his
butchery
name.
Of your name. And do you know what? I get a tweet every week, at least one tweet telling me, Lee, it's not Yotta, it's Jotta. Every single week.
Yeah, but I like calling him Yotta.
I call him whatever I want. Do you remember when we had like Mkhitaryan and players like that? I've been butchering Premier League players' names for years. Don't bring this Jota at me.
And I always want to call him Miljokovic, but that's not right.
Nah, don't even go there. Not even go there. Lemons is in top 80k. Very nice very indeed. Nice. Sean Thorpe is here. Hey, Sean, how are we doing? And Martin Treaky Swartz, two of our long-term patrons there. Nice to see you both, guys. Damien, they do. Kane, Cole, and Martin King. A whole host of you guys in. Welcome.
Harry Kane.
Martin Kane. Martin King, I'm afraid. Not Harry Kane. No.
I thought you said Kane was
Harry
in.
Kane on the brain. Like,
what's Harry Kane doing in our live stream?
Harry Kane on the brain. Let's flip to...
Harry Kane on the brain. He didn't do anything. Didn't even have a shot.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Didn't have a touch in the box.
Let's rip off the Band-Aid. Let's go straight to Sellers Park and talk about
There's no Band-Aid to rip off. We were blimmin' awful.
Because you're absolutely right. Harry Kane, completely anonymous in that game. And for the first time in
ever.
I don't know how many years... Really looked disinterested, Harry Kane. I'll give my view on Kane and Spurs in a second, but go for it. What did you think? Abject, right?
Well, the problem I had... Oh, okay, put my tea down. I think... So I didn't think we were that bad for about 10 minutes. Because I thought Crystal Palace basically just showed us a bit too much respect. I think like, they sort of were a bit like, oh, if Spurs, they're top of the league, let's, you know... And then Palace hadn't started the season that well.
Yeah.
Then the Dyer injury happened. And as soon as that happened, I thought, we are in big trouble here. Like, that is a big, big problem. Because Ollie Skip just passed the late fitness test and he really wasn't up to it. He shouldn't
Skip.
Have been playing.
Yeah.
Skip, yeah. So, what with him being basically half a Skip and then and then Dyer going off, I thought, this is awful. And then we just looked a bit at sea. There was far too many... central defensive midfielders for a start. Why on earth Winks is playing alongside Skip and Højbjerg, I just don't know. We had plenty of other attacking players, Gil, for example, who could have been playing in that place.
B is here, and she agrees with you. Yeah, she says, actually, there are zero positives to take from yesterday's game, especially after Dyer got injured. So talk to me about this Dyer injury.
Really
then. Why is, if he's out for a few weeks or worse, why is that such a big problem for Spurs?
Well, he's been the heartbeat of that defence. So, obviously, we've had some issues in terms of quarantine and, obviously, now Tanganga's suspended. Now, Tanganga's suspension is problematic because, obviously, Royale played out on the wing and Tanganga had that middle spot alongside Eric Dier. So, in that game, we basically lost both of our centre-backs at the same time where Sanchez wasn't available and Romero wasn't available either. So, we were at...
Joe Roden's right, though, isn't he?
Well, yeah. So, we were at Roden, but Roden... is fine, but he can't play in both of those places. So you're still without a natural central defender. Now, obviously, for the Chelsea game, Romero will be back from his weird quarantine, but I'm still allowed to train in Europe that they've gone on. But he won't have done any training with the squad because he doesn't land back until the day before. So this is really difficult. And I think going into that Chelsea game, it's going to cause us real problems. Couple that with the fact that then he's playing three... central defensive midfielders with Winks there and Skip and Højbjerg.
There was no creativity in that middle, was there?
No, because Bergwijn's also injured from international break. Yeah. Son's injured from international break. So we were down to Moura, who, by the way, B, the one thing I disagree with you on was I thought Lucas Moura was good. Lucas Moura tried his damnedest to play well in that game.
Yeah.
Nobody else did. Everyone else was really poor that day. But Lucas Moura, I thought, was out there and he was battling like Lucas Moura does. Harry Kane was dreadful.
Okay. All right.
But then he was... alienated, wasn't he?
I think three things went wrong or Nuno got wrong.
Three
key things in defence. And we'll talk about Palace in a minute, right? So Palace fans, don't at us, right? I understand. You were really good and we will get to you because you were very good. But there's three things that went wrong. The Dyer injury is huge. It's huge for Spurs. And I think Spurs need to hope that he's not out for long. He is not the best centre-half in the world, Eric Dyer. But what he really does... is he will lead.
Yeah.
And he pulls the others around. And the other defenders know what to do because he is there talking all the time. That's why he gets game time for England. He's not England's best centre-half by a long stretch. But he's talking. He tells everybody what to do. So that's a big problem. And as soon as he went off, you could see Spurs lacked that leadership at the back. The second one was Tanganga, silly boy. Silly
boy. He's just had a moment of madness. And we said, didn't we? You and I, we sat there watching the game and we went... one of them is going to do something ridiculous in a minute. Whether it's Zaha, whether it's Tanganga,
yeah,
they were both, their heads had gone, both of them.
Well, I think we sat there and we said, after the scuffle, the Zaha and Tanganga scuffle, I said there will either be a goal or a red card. There will be a big talking point in this game in the next 5 minutes. Either Zaha will get sent off or score, or Tanganga will get sent off. And Tanganga got sent off. And the second one is just so silly because he's right in front of the ref and he dives in. He's completely lost his head. Got to go. The other thing that I thought Nuno got really wrong, and maybe he had no choice but to play him there, but Emerson Royale, to chuck him in on his debut against Zaha.
The only choice he had was to play Roden alongside Dyer, and they play on the same side, so it's difficult for them to play together.
Yeah.
So he didn't really have a lot of choice. And let's be really honest about this. Royale had been in training, whereas Roden hadn't. Yeah. So he didn't really have much choice. So
yeah.
I think his big problem, my opinion, I agree with everything you've just said, but I think he got it wrong before the game started by playing Winks and Skip and Højbjerg.
That midfield three was a problem, wasn't it?
And you looked at that and thought, why have you done that? Like, we're without Bergvine, we're without Son, but we're not without talent. Like, you've got some decent attacking options on the bench. Play one of them instead.
But who comes into that midfield three? So you say, okay, no Bergvine and Son, but they're the front three. I'm talking about that engine room. Who would you put in there different that's creative?
But you don't need to, because you already had... You've got Højbjerg and... basically, we'd only lost Son from the game the last time around. So all he had to do is play Gil instead. Yeah. And you'd have had that attacking unit. He could have played Ndombele and put a bit of trust in him, but chose not to.
Yeah.
So my issue is that if you're going to start the game with three defensive midfielders, you basically alienate the attack.
Yeah.
So you're at a point you know, Lucas Moura is going to try and come and get the ball. Kane was completely off of it because he wasn't getting any service. But not just was he not getting any service, he wasn't in the game.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that midfield. So it needed a Gil, or it needed an Ndombele.
It needed somebody that was in there that's main thought was to attack. And I thought, maybe when I saw the team sheet, I thought in the back of my head, well, maybe he's said to Højbjerg, do what you do for Denmark. But that's not what we saw from Højbjerg. We saw Højbjerg defending.
Okay.
So it was a challenge. We've got to learn from it, because going into Chelsea next week, that just can't happen. It's still been a decent start to the season for Spurs, so I'm not getting my knickers in a twist just yet. But they do have to learn from that, because it was a very, very poor performance.
All right, well, you're going to have to learn very quickly with the Blues up next.
Well, we've got Europe first.
Don't even get me started on the old Vanarama. Go Pals in with the super chat. He says, he or she says, sign back Aurier. I don't think it's quite as bad as that. I don't think it's quite as bad
as that. We don't need him.
And Cy Badet, thank you for the comment. Yeah, you're right. The Ndombele situation is odd. But then the Ndombele situation was odd with Mourinho as well. And forgive me for outing a player here, but he's the common denominator in those two.
Well, they were talking about it, weren't they?
With those two, I mean, it can't just be that he's got all of these managers have got a problem with the same player.
It's Ryan Mason as well. Three managers in a year.
They've all got a problem with the same player. I'm sorry, the common denominator is the player. There's something not right with Ndombele's attitude, is my opinion, without knowing any of the facts. Crystal Palace.
Very good.
Conor Gallagher in particular, 5.5
so
in
impressive.
FPL. Top for XG underachievers with a delta of 1.38.
Oh, you could have shot.
So, should have had some points at the weekend. I think got the assist because it was his ball that came in and hit Davies on the hand, potentially.
Yeah, he got
But I think Hugo Lloris saved one from him in the first half from point blank range.
Few went over, though, didn't they?
He was everywhere, taking set pieces,
really
orchestrating the play. And in other seasons, when a player like that comes to the fore at Crystal Palace, we've gone, well, there's nothing really around him. But actually, he's getting the best out of those players that were there before. And Palace have added to their ranks. They've got other good players coming in now.
But not only that, Palace actually attacked the game. So for about 10 minutes at the beginning of the first half, they did look like they were a little bit sheepish. They looked like they were a bit unsure whether they should be attacking or not. They looked like they were taking the game very slowly, see what Spurs did. And then I think they realised that actually they were far, far better.
Yeah.
And they took the game by the scruff of the neck. They were really attacking. The substitutions that Vieira made improved them as the game went on, so they didn't get tired, because the guys that came on were really impressive also.
Absolutely, yeah.
Zaha looked like a man that was enjoying playing football again, which you don't always get with Zaha. Sometimes he's a bit...
He's got some half-decent players around him for
a
change.
Yeah, sometimes he's a bit stroppy, strops them out. You could see that things were improving at Palace. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about Hodgson, but the time had come for Hodgson to retire.
But they're suddenly not whipping boys, are they? I think we're coming into this season thinking, oh, it's going to be difficult for Vieira. They've got a whole load of players leaving. They've got all this new blood coming in.
Don't you think that's what they needed?
Well, I think it was, but I don't think any of us expected it to click quite so quickly. And don't get me wrong, they're far from the finished article, but they look all right. And actually, they're going to Anfield next week. I'm going to the game. It's not an easy game. I'm actually reconsidering my Salah auto-captain. I'm on my bus team. I've got him as my captain.
You're going to captain Salah. You're going to the game. Absolutely no chance that you're going to go to Anfield and not have captained a Liverpool player.
I probably will, but before that game, it was I definitely am. Now it's I probably will captain Salah in game week 5.
I mean,
it's Palace are looking all right.
I've got to say, Spurs were terrible, but Palace were not. And the game isn't just all Spurs were terrible. Yes, they were, but Palace did play really well. They wanted to win it far more than Spurs did. And after the sending off, I think had Tanganga not got sent off, it wouldn't have ended 3-0. But that sending
off...
You'd
have still lost the game, I think.
We probably still would have lost the game in the end because we were looking like we were just hanging on for dear life. Yeah. But we wouldn't have lost 3-0. They did incredibly well in that game. And I think there are a few options there. But
right.
I think it's the attacking ones. Gallagher is the one that really interests me because the price point is really nice.
What about the new man, Edouard, then? Coming from the Scottish Premier League in third overall on BPS right now after Lukaku, Ronaldo. Then Edouard in with 51 BPS for the game week. Very good performance in obviously a fraction of the time that Lukaku and Cristiano Ronaldo got. Comes on, gets the two goals. Looked lively, I thought. And actually, something that I think Palace have been missing a little bit with Benteke, because Benteke, I thought, did all right, actually. Fair play to him when he was on the pitch. But he does like to drop a little bit. He lacks that kind of burst of pace in behind. He's a bit more of a Kane player from that perspective. But Edouard was different. Every time they got the ball wide, he had one thought, and that was, I want to get in the box, because I'm a goal scorer.
Mm.
And I think a player with that mentality, at some stage, he's going to have an impact on our FPL teams, potentially.
How much is he?
I don't know. I genuinely haven't looked. We'll find out in the chat in a second. But he and Gallagher in particular impressed me in that game. No doubt about it. Any final thoughts on Palace or Spurs? Here's one last question for you. Will you have any Spurs in your wildcard?
No.
No Spurs in a Sam
6.5.
wildcard. 6.5 for Edouard, guys, if you want to go there. So maybe
a Tony would you
alternative.
Pick? Who would you pick?
Well, I quite agree. I know one.
Up next, Chelsea. And no defence.
Wow. Like,
that's a problem.
Sam wildcard with no Spurs.
Son's not there. Can't pick Kane. How can you pick Kane at the moment?
No. Oh, you'd absolutely go nowhere near it with Ronaldo and Lukaku knocking about. Let's go to the other side of North London then. So a nicer fixture for Arsenal this week after three pretty tricky looking fixtures. They needed to get it together. They scraped, I think is the word I would use, scraped a 1-0 at home to Norwich. They had lots of chances, but don't get me wrong, Norwich had a chance or two of their own. So I can think of a McLean header that ghosted just over. They scrapped to a 1-0 here, Arsenal. I wasn't massively convinced, put it that way.
Well, we went on the FPL show and we talked about this game, didn't we? And I was sort of talking about the Pookie Party and whether the Pookie Party was about to restart. Because I think a lot of people think that Norwich are the whipping boys because of what's happened in the opening three game weeks of the season, because we've seen Liverpool get 3 and Man City get 5. Yeah. And I think, for me, I was...
Do you not think they are, then?
Well, yeah. But yeah, this is my point. But Arsenal can only manage one. So I think this tells us more about Arsenal than it does about Norwich, right? I think the fact that Arsenal... Yes, take nothing away from them. They have won the game. Aubameyang's made the wall because he scored the goal. However... I just think that this Arsenal team, with the players that they have bought Arteta a bit more time, but I'm not impressed by them still.
They've got to now build on that. They've got to show their
fans.
They
should be beating Norwich by more than 1-0.
I know, but the way that that club is at the minute, they'll take the 1-0.
Oh,
and now they've got to go into their next fixtures.
Would you invest in Arsenal?
I wouldn't personally, no. But now let's look at the fixtures going forward for Arsenal. So it's Burnley away next. Then it's that Spurs game, which suddenly looks pretty big. Then Brighton, Palace, Aston Villa. And given what we've just said about Palace, you know, Villa as well in there. Brighton away from home. That's perhaps not quite so blue as the Fantasy Football Scout fixture difficulty rating ticker suggests. Or am I just thinking it is my Arsenal bias kicking in there?
I just don't trust them. And forget the Spurs thing for a minute. I just don't trust them as FPL. I mean, I went into the season with two of them. But I look at that team, I look at the way that they played against Norwich. They had some moments, don't get me wrong, where I thought, actually, they looked all right. But I thought Norwich did too, and I think Norwich, on paper, they could have got something out of that game. And
they could have, yeah.
I don't know, I just...
Finn McCann is in, he's saying stay away from
so,
Arsenal.
Some of them are so expensive, that's the other thing, isn't it? Yes, there are some cheap options in there, the likes of Smith Rowe, the likes of Ben White, but Ben White is never going to get you anything other than potential for a clean sheet.
Okay, all right.
And how many of them are they going to get?
All right, bit of an avoid then from Sam's perspective. Chances created, top for chances created so far in the game week, Diogo Jota and Pepe. Pepe with six. And also Pepe, joint third for crossing. Do not come at me with a Pepe agenda. I think that look on your face for the podcast, for the purpose of the podcast, that is a look of your face.
Oh my God, the podcast is going to have a... What are they going to think when the... Swatkins.
What, and the Daddy Long Legs kicked
in? Sorry, podcasters.
Yeah, it's probably a bit late now because they've probably listened to it.
I've just realised.
That's one to fast forward through about 15
I've just suddenly
30,
sat here and thought,
seconds.
Oh my goodness, they're just going to wonder what's happening. It's just me screaming.
So there we go. Arsenal, your words, not looking that investable. You guys in the live chat saying not that investable despite the 1-0 win. Norwich, I think, absolutely should still be targeted as whipping boys. I think you still need to look at them and say,
Fitch
them
really
and a couple
nice
of others.
Though.
Well, I don't
know. No, they are
I don't
nice.
Know. I would still, if I had a defender playing against them, I'd still play them a defender. Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I still
haven't scored any goals yet, have they? Haven't scored any goals?
I still
Pookie's got a penalty, has it?
I still think Pookie's going to have a party soon.
Absolutely no chance. And as for your man Rashica, who you mentioned on
the
FPL
benched,
show,
didn't he?
Got benched, didn't even start.
Oh, it's a weird Norwich team, to be honest.
Let's talk about. All right, let's talk about him then. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about Cristiano Ronaldo, and let's talk about his impact on that team as a whole. That's what I'm kind of interested in because.
Yeah.
No doubt, I don't think either of us can sit here and say, you know, Ronaldo is not in our thoughts. He's got to be in your thoughts for wildcard, got to be. And he's in my thoughts as well, if I was going to wildcard. He's in my thoughts even if I'm not, frankly, because the impact he had in that game was phenomenal. I know the Man United fixtures look difficult, etc., etc. But it's going to be a brave man that goes without him going forward. But what about the impact on the others then? So Luke Shaw picking up an assist for Ronaldo. Happy to see that as a Shaw owner. And of course, Bruno Fernandes picking up a worldy goal, but that rhetoric that was around Bruno Fernandes and the reason many made that switch seemed to come true. I was very happy with those Bruno points, but I feel a bit lucky to have them because apart from that worldy, I mean, had a very good game. Don't get me wrong, because this is Bruno; he's a very, very good player.
Ooh.
But I don't know if I saw enough for me to say he's worth 12 million or whatever he's worth going forward.
It's really
particularly
hard.
Particularly if he's not on the penalties, which I think is going to be the case.
Well, we still don't know. But I find it really... So the issue I have with this is I really do like Bruno Fernandes. I enjoy owning him. He scored a brilliant goal. And in any other game week, I'd have been like, what's your point? Like, he's got a goal. I'm very happy with that. However, I do think we are... And I wasn't 100% convinced last week because the fixtures for... Not for United, because I said a nice fixture, but... The fixtures for Chelsea still don't turn properly until game week 7. And in my head, I was like, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about taking this money out of Bruno ahead of Newcastle and investing it up top. But in the back of my head, always had the, but if they go off Lukaku and Ronaldo this week, I can move the money.
Yeah.
And, but I want to see Bruno with Ronaldo in the team. And I think what, for me, actually, what was more interesting than what Bruno did was the fact that Pogba was still as attacking as he was.
Was he?
Well, still got some assist points, didn't he, in that game?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's necessarily as attacking, though.
No, but it's significantly cheaper. So,
yeah.
So I guess my point is that, you know, if you're going to go Ronaldo up top, or if you're not going to go Ronaldo up top, because I think for most wildcarders, unless you're Danny, who's probably in, but if he's got the two of them up top and nobody in the middle, I'm not prepared to go that far.
Okay.
I'm not prepared to lose Salah, which means I've got to have one of Ronaldo and Lukaku. So I'm looking around the rest of that Man United team thinking, well, where can I see there being attacking returns from? Pogba's obviously still returning assists, so we are still getting a tick over of points for him. I have some concerns about Rashford's return and what that might mean.
Okay, when's he due to return?
Well, I think he's... There was rumours before the international break, wasn't there, that he might be back a little bit sooner than we were...
Yeah.
Originally thinking. So I don't think we've got a firm date yet, but at some stage he's going to come back into it and it's going to have an impact. So I'm kind of in my head trying to work out how you do United if you don't do Ronaldo, if that makes sense. Because if I want to go Lukaku, what do I do about United?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. And I thought they actually set up, as soon as I saw that team sheet for United and I saw Matic as the central defensive midfielder, I thought they're going for this.
So they should against Newcastle, though.
Attacking. Well, this is it. And that's my point is, are we going to see that now? Are we going to see United being flat track bullies? And whenever they come up against a team, at home against teams where they're maybe bottom half of the league or bottom eight in the league, like Newcastle, are we going to see United going for it now and playing Matic and all those and everyone else just bombing forward?
I should think so.
And if we do, will we therefore see a slightly more reserved Man United when they play the top eight? Will they have a bit more structure to their play? Maybe that's when McTominay and Fred come in. Maybe that's where Pogba does sit back a little bit more. Maybe that's where Ronaldo doesn't quite get so many touches in the box and as many shots away. And I don't know whether that's a rhetoric or not, right? But if it is a rhetoric, and if that's a feel I have about the way they might approach the next few weeks,
interesting.
Then how many opponents in the top 8 to 10 teams have they got over the next few weeks? Well, they've got a lot, actually. So let's just remind ourselves of the upcoming fixtures for Manchester United. Let me go back here. It's difficult for them. It's West Ham away next, which is by no means easy, although they won't have Antonio, right? Which will hamper their ability to go on the counter-attack. So they might end up getting a bit stuck in deep, West Ham, if they're not careful. Then it's Villa at home, Everton at home, Leicester away, Liverpool at home. And actually, if I was to extend that out, and members of Fantasy Football Scout can go onto the homepage, into the members area, and extend that out for the next few weeks. It's not easy for United, even after game week 9. And it's that rhetoric, it's that feeling I have about Ronaldo, because that's what he did at Juve, right? Against the lower teams, yes, bang, Juve will go all out, and he got 2 or 3 goals a game, like we saw against Newcastle. I fully expected him to score a couple of goals at the weekend.
I did too,
fully expected that. But one of the reasons, if I was to wildcard, I might not get him, is because I was expecting that. What's my expectation now? My expectation now is actually we don't see that quite so much, because they're playing against better defences, better teams. They've got a couple of tough away games where I don't think they're going to be quite so gung-ho as they were against Newcastle. Plus, you've got the back at Old Trafford, the Ronaldo factor, the atmosphere. Not that I was there, but just coming through the TV on that Man United game on Match of the Day was incredible. Anybody that went to the Man United game at the weekend can tell me if I'm wrong, but it sounded phenomenal. That sort of atmosphere is going to get the players wound up. It's going to get Ronaldo wound up. And they win 4-1 and he gets 2 goals. Of course, that's the script for the weekend. I don't know whether that's the script for the next 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. But I do think that's the script for Lukaku. And that's where I'm headed, guys. That's where I'm headed. I'm still not convinced. And you guys in the live chat, and get in the comments below if you're watching the replay. Is that performance enough for you to go, I must have him?
Right, okay.
I must have Ronaldo. But, or do the fixtures put you off?
But you cannot, and I know that we say this all the time, it is impossible to own all of these players. There are a number of big hitters that we're talking about. So in this individual conversation alone, we've talked about Bruno, we've talked about Ronaldo, we've talked about Lukaku, we've mentioned Salah already. You can't own all of them.
Sure.
So there has to be choices. And for me, the easiest way to make those choices is to have a midfielder, a premium, and a premium forward. And at that point, you're then making decisions between two players. I think the decision between Salah and Bruno Fernandes is easier to make than I think the conversation is between Ronaldo and Lukaku.
Okay.
And I think there is, and you can have a conversation between, well, do I just go with those two forwards and not have Salah? But I think that's problematic as well in terms of investing in Liverpool.
One of the things I feel about this Lukaku and Ronaldo conundrum, if you're not going to go with both, which I think if you're going to have Salah,
you can't.
It's difficult to have both.
Well, you can, but it's
you
hard.
Can. You can do it, but it's difficult.
It's very unbalanced.
But one of the ways I look at it is I go, okay, well, let me look at Chelsea then. Let me look at Chelsea. The team is built around Lukaku. And there's some nice options around the edges, like Mount will tick over the points. I like Reece James at the back, of course, although he's only going to cost you 5 point something. Havertz is a nice-looking pick as well. There's some reasonable picks there. But if you were going to go into Chelsea attack, there's one player you'd pick, and it's Romelu Lukaku. If you were going to go into Manchester United, I think there's a bit more choice. Now, Bruno's probably not in that choice because of his price tag. But maybe a Sancho, or maybe a Greenwood, or maybe a Rashford when he's back are, I hate to use the word alternatives and coverage because that's not words we like here at FPL Family, but there are alternatives, I think, in that Manchester United side if you want to pick a Man United player. Sancho surely now comes to the fore for two reasons. One, I really like the signing of Ronaldo from a PR perspective around Sancho. And what I mean by that is it totally takes the pressure off of Sancho. I love it. It's a masterstroke from Manchester United, frankly, because they've got all the focus on a 36-year-old experienced guy who is used to having the limelight. And it takes all the pressure off of Sancho to go and play. Yeah. I love it. It's such a good move. The second reason is that he is an out-and-out winger. And I think if you're going to get the service into the box and not have Greenwood and Rashford cutting in and shooting on their own, which they love to do, you need out-and-out wingers. That's why we said about Shaw being great from wing-back. That's why I think Sancho will be good going forward. Now, he's not cheap, Sancho. He's 9-point-something.
But he's cheaper than Bruno.
But he's cheaper than Bruno. And I think if I was to look at that Manchester United team and look at that Chelsea team, I don't want anybody other than Lukaku at Chelsea. But at Man United, of course, if I could afford both and have Salah, I'd have him. Of course I'd have him. But could I have a Sancho and be happy with it? Probably. Could I have a Greenwood and be happy with it? Yeah, but I've got to think about what happens when Rashford comes back and all the rest of it, right? But the point I'm rambling to, it's a bit of a ramble, but the point I'm rambling to is I think there are options around Ronaldo. But I think at Chelsea, Rom is the man. There we go. That's just my thoughts on it. But Manchester United, very, very impressive, as I thought they would be. Newcastle, we're talking about whipping boys. Are they whipping boys? Are they in that bracket with Norwich? They're leaking a lot of goals, Newcastle.
They've always leaked a lot of goals.
Yeah, but they are leaking a lot of goals at the minute, I'm telling you.
Well, look, let's not beat around the bush here. Steve Bruce has had no investment. I know that they've got Willock, but they've literally had no investment. He's gone and asked for some budget in the summer and he's been told, no, there's nothing. So he's basically working with what he had last year. Callum Wilson's injured again. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard with Newcastle.
You're not investing from an FPL perspective. I take it.
Oh, no.
No. All right, let's move on then. Let's move to Southampton 0, West Ham 0, which was an interesting game.
What is this game, by the way?
Interesting game. I didn't call it. I had Antonio and Benrahma, and to get, you know, the square root of what, net points one out of them two? Or three? Or two, maybe?
Two.
That's pretty pathetic, isn't it? And Antonio's red card does throw a bit of
but
a spanner in the works.
You hadn't captained him when you were thinking about it.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I said it on the FPL show, so here we go. Here's another. Lee said something on the FPL show, and he didn't do it in real life. I did say on the FPL show I was going to captain Antonio. And
did you? I thought you said you were going to captain Salah. But don't forget about it. I thought you said we both
did
said
I say
Salah.
Don't forget? Oh, okay.
I think we both said.
For a long time this week, I was really considering Antonio. And I didn't change it until the Friday night to Mo Salah. Bloody glad I did, frankly. Because the Antonio captaincy would have really, really killed me this week. It really would. So here's the question then. What do you do? Your wild card is active. Hold. Sell. What are you doing?
Honestly, I don't know.
Right.
I know that's a really cop-out answer.
Probably going to go down in price tonight or tomorrow.
Yeah, but I've had him since before the season started. Okay. So for me, I bought him in at 7.5. He's now 8, so he's going to go back down to 7.9. But if I sell him and then want him back, which is my issue, is that I look at the way that, not that they didn't play that very well against Southampton, but I look at the way that Antonio's played in the opening three game weeks of the season, and think, if you'd have said to me ahead of game week one that Antonio is going to get the points haul that he has across the opening four game weeks and not told me that he was going to blank and get sent off in game week four, I'd have been very, very
happy with that points
return.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the sending off has hampered it a little bit, but then I wasn't going to captain him next week anyway. Does it really matter if I bench him for 1 week and then he comes back in for the week after?
Sure. Do you want him for those fixtures, though? So let's have a look at the West Ham fixtures. So the West Ham fixtures, here they are, right in the middle. So it is United. Then it's Leeds away, who have been pretty leaky this season, right? And then it's Brentford at home. Then it's Everton away and Spurs.
So if you're going to miss a game...
How do you feel about those?
Well, if he was going to miss a game, what game would you want him to miss?
Yeah.
The one that he's missing.
Yeah. I must say, he is not an easy sell,
I think. It's very hard to sell him.
If you were going to sell him on your wild card, that is not a decision you take lightly.
Because I look at it and I think I probably do want him back. And that makes it very, very hard to sell him,
yeah,
because I've got to then budget for another 0.4 that I don't have to get him back.
Where else in this game would you like to pick up on? So Livramento.
Oh, I've been so lucky.
We will talk about your team later on. There is a big slice of jam for Sam after the Sun free kick floating in past Backman and the 20 point of the other week. There is another slice of jam. This is a common theme for those of you new to FPL family. This is a common theme on these streams, is that Sam's very lucky to get Livramento second on her bench coming on because of a simicass and Mount no-show. More on that a bit later on. He actually almost scored as well with Livramento.
A bit sour, aren't you?
I'm very sour because you have it every single week. Almost could have scored as well, by the way, didn't he? He just like, lobbed a crossover Livramento.
Oh my God. If he just like... because yesterday he was on my bench and I literally could not fathom what was happening in this game. So we were watching, obviously, the scores come through and they were talking about this game and I was thinking, what? Where has this game come from? Because at no point in my mind did it even occur to me. In fact, part of the reason I took a -4 this week was because I didn't want to play Livramento in this game.
Right. And he's popped up with
with a six-pointer.
How good is that? We've got a pause just incidentally, Sam, for a super chat from Yogesh. Thank you, Yogesh, for the super chat. Here is his or her wildcard. Sanchez, Steer, Trent, Ayling, Livramento, Duffy, Salah, Adama Traore, Gray, Bissouma, Rafinha, and then Bamford, Ronaldo, and Romelu Lukaku. So there it is. There's the Ronaldo and Romelu Lukaku draft.
But the midfield is small.
Goodness me, the midfield has taken a battering with the likes of Gray, Traore, and Bissouma in there, and you're missing out on a hell of a lot of value in that 7-8 bracket.
Is there any Man City in that?
No Man City, no. No Man City.
See, that's problematic for me.
Yeah. I personally don't like it, Yogesh. I see where you're coming from because you want the three big hitters, and that shows that you can have
it. You can.
But it shows that also you've got to have a lot of crap at the back, like Livramento and Duffy, and you've got to have Bissouma and Gray and Traore. You've got to be playing, you know, you can only bench three of those players. You've got to play some of those guys most weeks, right? So it is doable. I'm not saying it's not, but it done half change your team. Just a quick shout out for Salisu and Stevens in this game. I thought they were very good. Salisu in particular, I noticed. Where did I notice that? Yes, the CBI index, the clearances, blocks and interceptions index on the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Salisu is top by some distance, by the way, with 14 on the CBI index. Second is Lascelles and then Soyuncu. So Salisu right up there. Had a really good game. Really, really good. And Southampton, the way that they changed their shape, the way they brought Salisu in to partner Jack Stevens, I thought they looked way more solid. And they were throwing less caution to the wind, I thought. So is that going to be a theme? And if it is, Livramento might start more for us in FPL than we might have thought when we bought him in, right?
Well, I must admit, I was pleased, yeah. Well, I have a question for you about West Ham, though.
Go on.
Because obviously you and I are both doubled up. So we've had a conversation about Antonio.
Yes.
But the big question for me, more than even do I keep Antonio, it's Benrahma.
Yeah.
Because since I've bought him in, he's done absolutely nothing. Sorry, everyone, I broke him.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of looking at that wildcard team that I'm creating. And at the moment, I think he's still in the draft. Don't think I took him out.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, do I really want to be doubled up on West Ham?
Not based on the last couple of weeks, you don't. No, I wonder whether that was this season's first bit of points chasing there, Benrahma. I mean, he did have a good pre-season, had a great first couple of games. But I just wonder whether...
Because Gallagher's a million cheaper.
I know. I just thought, and that's why I picked up on the Stevens and Salisu pieces, because Salisu in particular was very physical with Antonio. There's no doubt that when you go toe-to-toe with Antonio and you get amongst it, and remember what I was talking about before with that the first yellow card for Antonio where he throws Stevens to the ground and Stevens gives the bench a little smile and a nod. He knew he had him. He knew he had Antonio, and Antonio does not like it when he's not the alpha male on that pitch. And when he's not quite at it, the rest of the team, his supporting cast, feed off of him.
Yeah.
And I just wonder whether it affects the Benrahmas and the Fornals, etc. Maybe I don't know if we've got enough data for me to confidently sit here and say that. But that's how it felt. It felt Southampton went into that game saying, right, we're going to put Salisu and Stevens, two of our most physical centre-halves, and we are going to rough up Antonio. And he's not going to like it. And that's going to affect the team. Now, don't get me wrong, they had their chances. But also said in Southampton, I think Declan Rice had one off the line in the dying minutes, which I think goal line technology wasn't all the way over the line. So they could have nicked it. The Saints. The game plan almost worked. And I wonder whether other teams will now look at that and go, look, if you can get amongst it with Antonio, that kills them. That's how you deal with West Ham. Maybe not. Maybe it's just one example, right? But certainly I noticed that. Salisu and Stevens against Antonio worked at the weekend. They did a really good job. Mohit, thank you for the super chat. Mohit saying, hey, Sam and Lee. Hey, Mohit. Hope you're well. We are not too bad, thank you. I got Aubameyang in for this game week and captained him. But realistically, do you think he might be a good option? Well, we've already spoken about Arsenal versus Norwich, Sam. Aubameyang got the goal, but I'm still not seeing enough from Arsenal in totality to necessarily go and invest that amount of money. That's the problem, isn't it? It's a lot of money.
You know, if Aubameyang was 8 million, it's maybe more of a question. But yeah. I think at the price tag he is, it's very hard.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about another big money signing. Chelsea 3, Aston Villa 0. So big Rom at the double with the two goals. Very well taken first goal. The second goal, just for me, showed you that what he's all about in terms of confidence right now. He's come back into the club. He's hit the ground running. The fans love him. Was it his home debut, I think, at the weekend? I think it was. Got the fairly early goal into the game, settled his nerves, and by the time it got to the injury time and he's got the second goal, he's just like, right, I'll just shuffle my feet, which for a guy of his size was unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. And he just belted in the top corner. I mean,
the thing is, that
just tells you everything you need to know about him right now. He's absolutely full of confidence.
Yeah, again, though, wasn't surprised by this. It was the thing that we've been talking about all week.
Sure.
No Martinez in goal for Aston Villa. We were concerned about that. And of course, Lukaku did what we know Lukaku can do. I really like him as a player. I think he is, he's really clever. And he, because of the way that he plays, because of the way that he will take the ball and feed out to others, it does make the other Chelsea players more interesting options, I think.
Okay.
I think what you're saying is right. In terms of Lukaku is obviously the main man there, but I think the way that he plays, it will bring others into the game, particularly when Reece James is back. Mm-hmm. I think it could make him a really nice option. Mason Mount missing, part of my minus four this week.
Was annoying. You brought in Mount for this week?
Yeah, because I couldn't grow Lukaku. So basically, I looked at that match and I got it right in some ways, in that I looked at that match and was like, that Villa side, without Martinez, is going to struggle defensively because it's Martinez that is, if anybody relies on their goalkeeper to be good, it's them. Yeah. And I was right from that perspective. I just did not expect Tuchel to bench him. Because
the thing we've got at Chelsea now, though, is they have got such depth in their squad.
They have.
And we've spoke, the Pep roulette has been a thing for years in FPL, right? But now Tuchel has got all these options.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, in a week where they've got their Champions League opener, he's going to protect his key players. And Mason Mount is a key player for him, no doubt about it.
And he said, didn't he, about the same or similar about Jorginho with the amount of time that he'd played over international break. But it does put me off slightly because I'd obviously invested in Mount. And in my head, I was going to triple up on Chelsea for game week 7 onwards. When I was doing that wild card, I was thinking, well, I'll treble up on Chelsea at that point and I'll go one in every position. But I'm now looking at Mount and thinking, oh, there's a slight niggly question mark in my mind now, because now that he's been benched once, could we see it happen again?
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see it that often.
But the fact that it's happened would
put me off a little bit.
And he's going to drop tonight. So that's another part of the reason why my wild card is kind of, well, part of the reason why it's active, because I was looking at that thinking, I just sell you again and then bring you back in if I want you again later on in the week. But yeah, it's a difficult one.
All right. Okay, well, without a doubt, the main man, Big Rom, is looking very, very good. He's looking full of confidence. You're right. He does make the rest of the team better as well. There's one or two moments I noticed in the game. Some of them weren't quite on his wavelength. I thought Ziyech, couple of misplaced passes, but that'll come, you know. And before you know it, they are going to be fighting on all fronts, Chelsea. And I think that is why you're going to get you've got the squad depth and why we're going to get a bit of rotation. Because I think Tuchel's looking at it and going, why can't we win everything, Chelsea Oof. Football Club? Why can Oof. They not go back-to-back Champions Leagues? Why Oof. Can't they? They've got a squad.
Oof.
They are that good, Chelsea, at the minute.
Have you
they
seen
are
PSG?
That good. That's very true. But I tell you, Chelsea have got better defence than those boys. Ooh. Chelsea are better than those guys. Although it would be very hard to keep that front three out. Top for BPS in the game week, Lukaku, 58 points, just beating big Cristiano Ronaldo by 1 point there. A shout out, even though I don't think you would go for him in FPL right now, Kovacic was absolutely superb in that game.
Mm.
Absolutely superb. And it's easy for me to sit here and say that. He's got the goal, the assist, 2 bonus points. Of course he played well, Lee, bloody idiot. But we've seen Kovacic so many times be the orchestrator and not get the FPL points. But he pounced on that mistake to get his goal. Nice assist for Lukaku. A couple of bonus points. Fully deserved. Very, very good Kovacic. And therein lies my point. Chelsea, strength in depth. You can take Mount and Jorginho. Arguably, they're two best midfielders. Arguably, they've got Kante and some other pretty bloody good midfielders. But two key midfielders go out of that side.
Mm.
He brings in Kovacic. And what does he do? He has a great, great game. What does that tell me about Tuchel? That tells me he has got harmony within that squad. Mm. In the same way that Klopp did 2 years ago, and I was a big, big fan of it, and Klopp still has it, I think, to a degree, there was harmony in that Liverpool squad 2 years ago. If a player dropped out and another guy came in, it was fine. You pat him on the back and you wish him good luck and you want the team to win. Tuchel has manufactured that environment at Chelsea. They will win this league. I'm telling you, they will win this league. 3-0, Aston Villa, what to say about those guys?
Right, this is going to sound bonkers.
Did all right, actually.
I thought this was their best performance of the season.
Yes, I agree. Weird as that is to say, because they've been battered 3-0, but actually played all right.
Dean Smith said pretty much the same, didn't he? Came out after the game and said pretty much the same. And I, that's true. It was their best performance of the season so far. There was a lot to take from it from them. And of course, they will have their players back for next time. So they have Martinez back. They have Buendia back. Like Lo Celso and Romero, they'll be back late, but they will be back. They've got Bailey back. And I really like Leon Bailey. I think he's going to be a decent option. Seems to be back and recover from his injury. We saw him in that game. I think that there's potential there with Villa going forward. But their fixtures are horrid.
Yeah, they are looking pretty tough. We'll talk about those in a second. But as Matt Henley quite rightly says in the live chat, thank you, Matt. Villa had a lot of chances. Mendy was quality. Yes, he was. 6 saves for the Chelsea goalkeeper. Very, very good indeed. Picked himself up a bonus point in a game where actually Chelsea scored 3 goals. It is unusual for a goalkeeper to pick up a bonus point, but he played very well indeed. I just had a... Where was that stat? Just a stat here goes somewhere. There was... here we go. Ollie Watkins, third for XG underachievers this week. So Gallagher, Pepe, as I mentioned before, third for XG underachievers. Ollie Watkins with minus 0.73. So maybe a bit unlucky or a bit wasteful, Ollie Watkins. What are we saying? Is he still a bit rusty? He needs to find his match sharpness.
First game of the season,
wasn't it?
So, you know, I think you can forgive him in the first game of the season for being a bit rusty, been out with injury. Obviously, his first game alongside Danny Ings as well, new system.
Okay. All right, let's a couple more games. A quick shout out about Wolves. I thought Wolves played actually pretty well. They took their time getting their first goal of the season. It happened to be an own goal. But then actually, one of their new signings, Hwang, popped up with the second goal.
Not Jimenez.
Well, interestingly, this guy's coming in at 5.5 in FPL. I would love to know your thoughts, guys. Those of you that know Hwang well or have seen him play elsewhere in the world, I know very little about this guy, I'll be honest. It's Hwang Hee-chan. I think he was, certainly in the top 10, top 4. He's fourth for overall BPS so far this game with 32. So it's Lukaku, Ronaldo, Edouard, and then Hwang Hee-chan. Did really, really well. I was impressed. And actually, when I went on Twitter to have a look at people's reactions to the goal, there's a lot of people on Twitter saying, I was expecting that. This guy's coming in. Yeah, this guy's a quality player. A lot of players, a lot of Liverpool fans, because obviously I follow a lot of Liverpool fans on Twitter, saying, you know, when we signed Minamino, it was a bit of a straight choice between the two, and a few people wishing we'd bought Hwang rather than Minamino. So actually, this guy... Eyes on him. I need to do a bit of a scouting job on him, guys. One of you guys can get in the live chat or get in the comments and do the scouting job for me if you like Wolves fans. Let me know what you have bought here, because at 5.5 in FPL could be a useful third striker spot for your wild card. What are you saying?
I've got Jimenez at the moment. Another interesting decision I made on Friday evening to go Jimenez over. Couldn't quite afford Calvert-Lewin. But I thought Jimenez would do well over the run of fixtures they have, and I still think Jimenez can do well over the run of fixtures that they have. I still think investing in the Wolves' defence makes a lot of sense, as we saw in this week. They can be really solid defensively. And Marcel and Semedo, shout out to both of them for having fantastic games in game week 4.
Yeah, I'll tell you what's interesting about those two is that it was Marcel that picked up the FPL points, no doubt, this game week. But Semedo did half miss some chances. Mm. He is also right up there for XG underachievers. I don't know how many times I'm going to talk about the XG underachievers, but we've talked about Gallagher, Pepe and Watkins. Fourth on that list, Semedo. Actually had some pretty gilt-edged chances. Found himself in some very dangerous positions. So for 4.9 in FPL, if you can find the 0.4 over Marcel, do you think he's worth it, Semedo?
Yeah, less rotation risk as well there.
I think he's just about worth it. Mm. He's got to come good soon, Semedo. He's bombing forward at absolutely every opportunity. And I hear what you guys are saying. Marcel's going to save you some money. Cody's the safer pick at 4.5. I don't disagree with that. But if you can find that extra 0.4, which, by the way, is very difficult to do at the minute in FPL, to find any cash to do anything, I think Semedo is worth a look, no doubt about it. Let's go to the last game I want to talk about. The game from today, Leeds 0, Liverpool 3. Mane and Salah getting their goal each. Fabinho with his annual goal. He won't score again for a little while, but from a scrappy corner. But we've come to expect that a little bit from Leeds, haven't we? Scrappy defensively from corners and set pieces. And generally speaking, a little bit scrappy defensively. What did you make of the Leeds performance first, before we go to Liverpool?
Yeah.
Not great, was it?
Defensively, they weren't that solid. They haven't been all season, though, so kind of expecting it, if that makes sense. I thought they were okay. I thought, obviously, going down to 10 men killed them off.
It killed the whole game. Because the atmosphere in Elland Road was fantastic, and I think actually both teams responded to that.
Yeah.
And even at 2-0 down, Leeds were still having a go and the fans were still behind them and I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic game, by the way. Yeah. Really, really great game to watch, even as a non-neutral. But yeah, the Harvey Elliott and the red card, without a doubt, killed the atmosphere and it killed the game, unfortunately.
There were opportunities for Leeds going forward, though. They had moments where... And Bamford could easily have chipped Alisson when Thiago made his mistake.
Yes, he could, although I didn't see too much else from Bamford that made me think, all right, so, okay, opportunistic shot from halfway aside. Wouldn't say necessarily got a lot of chances, did he? Or did you see something in there that might make you want to invest ahead of what is actually a really good run of fixtures for Leeds? Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about investing in Bamford because there are cheaper ways in, you know, Rafinha, Harrison, although Harrison keeps getting benched, keeps getting pulled off, doesn't he? Which puts me off that because he gets hauled every game, it seems. So there's cheaper ways to invest. I think Bamford's just too much money, but I do like there's something I quite like about the Leeds attack. I like their kind of...
So on your wild card, are you thinking Bamford, Rafinha?
Definitely not Bamford, it's too expensive.
Dan James? No.
This is the problem, is that I always quite like the Leeds attack when I watch them because they are quite gung-ho, I think, in their attacking threat. But I don't know, there's something about Rafinha that irritates me I think he should get more than he does every time I watch him.
Okay, Alejandro Perez is saying, should I sell Rafinha? Didn't look too threatening. Well, there we go. Absolutely on people's radars from game week 5 onwards because... The fixtures for Leeds look very good. There they are, sitting top of the ticker. We've already spoken about Newcastle being whipping boys. Then it's West Ham. Then it's Watford. Then it's Southampton. Then it's Wolves. So, do you know what? Looking at that again, there's actually a couple of half-decent defences in there. Watford on their day can be strong. We've seen them be a bit iffy so far this season.
But they do know each other quite well.
They had a good record from last year. Southampton, we've just said, again, if the right players play and they play the system they played against West Ham, they could do all right. And then Wolves, of course, are pretty good defensively. And then West Ham are no pushover. So is that as good as it looks for Leeds, for Bamford and for Rafinha, from an attacking perspective? Is it really that good?
I think it's all right from an attacking perspective. I think I wouldn't go there defensively because I think some of those teams will score against them. But I think you could go there attacking-wise. I don't know, it just Bamford is a lot of money this season.
All right.
And that's what puts me off, because he's the obvious choice, but at the price he is, I'm not really sure you want to go there.
All right, let's talk about Liverpool then. Let's talk about how wasteful Sadio Mane was today. Goodness me, 10 shots for Mane today, which is nearly over double the next best. So Watkins, Aubameyang, Ronaldo and Pepe,
that, by the way,
all in this game with 6 shots each, Mane with 10. And actually, I think if you're a Jota owner, actually you can feel a little bit aggrieved because there was a couple of opportunities that he put on a plate for Mane and Mane either missed the shot or skied it or, you know, just fluffed his lines. And in the end, he got his goal. So no one's looking at Mane and going 10 shots, no goal.
Still on the underachievers list, though.
But he is still on the underachievers because of the amount of shots that he had. He's there right next to Semedo in the top 5 of XG underachievers. So could have had more.
Should have had
but
more.
But pretty wasteful. Not clinical enough.
I'm really, look, going to say something controversial. I just don't understand him at the moment.
He's definitely a bit wasteful. He's not quite on his game, but then hasn't been for a little while, in my opinion. Let's talk about players that are on their game, though. Trent Alexander-Arnold, if you were considering selling him to fund this expensive front line that you want with Ronaldo and Lukaku, don't, is the answer to that. 7.5, another 12-pointer for Trent today. And looked threatening again. Could have had more than one assist.
Nothing not to like about Trent.
Just keep him. Just keep
it,
him.
It is hard, and I do... So I can understand the conversation about downgrading him. I really can, because there's so many appealing options up top. I can see why people are doing it. But then I watch him again today, and I think about it. Every time I look at my team, I think, I just, if I took a million out of Trent, you know...
Yeah,
if I went to Van Dijk, but then I watch Trent, and I'm like, I can't.
Don't do it. I think he and Shaw look pretty good for assists going forward. I've got not too much issue with having either of those in my side. Nor do I have an issue with Mr. Salah, again, popping up with the goal. He just ticks it over, and got to the 100 goals mark today. I think the fifth fastest Premier League player to get to 100 goals.
Is that right?
Absolutely ridiculous, this guy. Honestly, so, so good. And Liverpool, now joint top of the league, 3-0 against Leeds. Crystal Palace at home next week. It's looking pretty good for him, right?
Oh, I remember when we were top of the league with Crystal Palace up next.
It's a dangerous place to be.
It's a difficult place to be. Liverpool were great. I was really impressed with them today. I thought they were wasteful. I thought we could have won that game by a lot more than they did. If Mane could actually put his boots in gear, Jota would have returned a lot of points today. So I think if you've gone Jota, then don't
Jota,
panic.
Jota.
Okay. No, it's Jota.
Gavin Bremner, thank you for the super chat, Gavin. He's saying, hey guys, I have Jota, Torres and Greenwood in my side and I'm concerned about rotation, especially as he has a weak bench. Livramento, Brownhill, Omabanadeli.
He plays.
He got some minutes for Norwich this week. Should I be selling? And if so, who out of those three? Jota, Torres and Greenwood. Should you be selling? And if so, who? Not at the moment. I'd be holding all three of them.
I don't see that any
good
of them...
Good value in each of them, right?
And are any of them really rotation risks at the moment? I mean, Firmino's out, so that makes Jota... And we don't know how long Firmino's out for, yeah. Of course, but that doesn't... They can all get points off the bench as well. That's the other thing.
Yeah, I think of the three, if you were going to sell, it's probably Torres. Oof. But then even Torres only got pulled off early because he had so many minutes in his legs from the internationals. And I do think he's good. On another day, he could have had points against Leicester.
And Champions League in the week.
And he's got Southampton up next. It would be a hard sell, actually. It'd be very difficult to say which of those you'd sell. But I would say just Torres, actually. But it'd be difficult. Anyway, a very happy Liverpool owner here. Get well soon, Harvey Elliott. And we wish the young man all the best.
And of course, the game week's not over as well.
Not a very good injury. And you're right, we have Everton versus Burnley still to come on
tomorrow
night.
Who got Calvert-Lewin?
Dominic Calvert-Lewin still to play for me. But we'll talk about our teams in just a second, Sam. I have to give a shout-out to all of our new patrons that have joined us in the last couple of weeks over the international break. Guys, thank you for joining us. It means a lot when you come and join us over on Patreon. You come and support what Sam and I do here on FPL Family. Loads of new patrons in the last couple of weeks joining at the Ohana or the Manager of the Month here. And we've had a couple of new Zoom patrons as well. So, guys, if you want to come and support the content that we create, patreon.com/FPL family. You can come and support us at either the $3, the $5 or the $10 tier. The $3 tier gets you a bonus podcast. We do a podcast every Friday, which goes out exclusively to our patrons, usually about the upcoming game week, although we did have a bit of fun this week doing an Ask Us Anything where we go into the Slack, which is another thing you get, a Slack chat community at the $3 tier, where we ask the guys to just ask us anything. FPL, non-FPL, personal questions we don't even mind. We got stuck into it.
We're having another baby now on the back of
their
poles,
aren't
we? We are
not having another baby on the back of that pole. Slackers, that needs to stop, by the way, Patreon supporters. So that's what you get at the $3 Ohana tier. At the $5 Manager of the Month tier, you get the podcast, you get the Slack access, and you also get entered into this month's Manager of the Month. Now, September is live. It's open. So it's a great time to go and join us over on Patreon. It's a short month as well.
Oh,
three,
I mean,
I've not got
much time to make up for my appalling one.
I'm not sure you've got much chance of winning it this month, Sam, because there is only three game weeks, I think, in September.
Of course, because we've got another international break coming.
I think there's internationals again. So, guys, if you do want to get into that Manager of the Month, now is a really good time to go and check us out on Patreon and all the links in the description below. And if you want to go and support us at the $10 tier, you get all of the stuff I've mentioned, the Slack, the Ohana podcast, entering into the Manager of the Month competition to win some great prizes, replica shirts, etc. And you also get the opportunity to come and speak to Sam and I a couple of times a year about your team. So when you play that wild card, if you want to talk to Sam about who should you have in your wild card, who are the best picks, what to do for the next 8 to 10 weeks, what's your longer term strategy, we are here for you guys and we'd love for you to come and support us at the Zoom tier. And by the way, want to have a Zoom chat with us and don't want to talk about FPL, that's absolutely fine. We have chats with people and we just chat football and chat rubbish for half an hour. It's great fun. Really, really great fun. So head over to patreon.com/FPL family to go and support us over there. We would love you to do that. So, Sam, let's get to our teams. Here is my team so far for the game week. It's a red arrow, not a surprise, because coming into this game week, I was all about damage limitation. No wildcard played. Didn't have Ronaldo or Lukaku, who I thought both had really nice fixtures, likely to be within the points. It was all about damage limitation. And I have to say, the damage has been limited somewhat. The Bruno Fernandes goal, which I feel fortunate to get, by the way, has softened that blow a little bit. The Salah captaincy getting the goal. No bonus points for Salah, though, which is a bit disappointing. But Salah getting the 8, again, just cushions the blow a little bit. But having said that, there is still a lot I don't like about this team. I don't like the fact that I've got the 2 tickets to the Pep Roulette. And the fact that I know they've got Southampton up next, but Grealish and Torres.
It's a bit overkill.
I'm getting a bit bored of Grealish, guys. I'm getting a bit bored of Grealish because every week he's integral, every week he's a big part of this team. But the rhetoric which I believed but kind of refused to fully buy into when he first went to the club. Because obviously you guys were all on Twitter, you were on here on the live stream saying, Lee, don't get him because at Villa, he's the talisman. Everything goes through. And at City, he's just another player in their squad. And I was sitting there thinking, 100 million. He's going to play all the time. He's going to be pretty central to this team.
Well, he does.
Well, he does play he does play all the minutes. And he does get the starts. But the points are being shared around. Not everything is funneling through him. And you guys were absolutely spot on about that. So I'm getting a bit impatient with Jack Grealish. The Fernandes rhetoric as well, I think, was right from last week. And had I played the wild card last week, I think I would have done the change. I think I would have done Fernandes and I would have done Ronaldo in. I just wanted to hold off on the wild card just to see what Manchester United are like. And don't get me wrong, very happy to have the 8 points from Fernandes. But what I actually saw and what the underlying stats are telling me, that here is a fantastic player that will get you FPL points, but he's 12 million. And is he now worth that premium price tag? I'm not sure.
Because of the others that are in the game now.
I'm not sure that he is. By no means am I saying he's a bad FPL asset or a bad player. Far from it. He's quality.
If he was 10, you'd still go there.
You would. And that is the point, isn't it? It's the extra you've got to pay now. That absolute premium 12 million price tag is putting me off now. I think there's other value elsewhere. Also, as we mentioned before, Benrahma. Was I chasing the points there a little bit?
Maybe.
Calvert-Lewin still to come, so we'll see there. Antonio, I've got a bit of a problem for next week because I've got to play one of my bench players. I don't feel like any of them are any good, to be honest with you. And I still fancy sorting out the Tsimikas issue. Still wouldn't mind sorting out the Tsimikas issue so that I can get Jota if I wanted to go there. So, listen, it's not catastrophic, but I'm sort of okay with it. One thing I wish I'd done, I don't know why I didn't listen to my own advice, if I'd have put Livramento first up, he'd be coming on for Tsimikas and not Ailing. That's stupid. That was stupid. Because I remember looking at my team thinking, well, I back West Ham to score, so I don't really want Livramento in there. But then I'm captaining Salah, so of course I'm backing Liverpool to score. Maybe I just got, I don't know, confused by the Ailing wonder goal from game week one. And to be fair, Ailing could have scored, actually.
Yeah, maybe it was about attacking threat more than it was defensive security.
Maybe. I'm kicking myself really about that. Really kicking myself. So yeah, there I am. So 55 points on a -4. Dominic Calvert-Lewin to come. So who knows? I'm expecting big things if he starts. If he's out of that game altogether, then I get Livramento. So it's not the end of the world.
Oh, he's not going to not play. He was in training.
I think he will play some part. Overall points, 284, 649k rank. So a rank change of -48. It is a red arrow of about 200k. It's not the end of the world. If Dominic Calvert-Lewin bags a couple tomorrow, I think I'll be back up in the 400ks. And then I'll largely be par, and I'll be absolutely okay with that. So a lot of my game week result depends on Dominic Calvert-Lewin, yeah, is the idea. But there are a number of things now in this team that I'm starting to dislike.
I'd rather be in your place than relying on my final player of the game week.
You've got Luka Dean, haven't you? You've got Luka Dean,
all right. Why?
Well, let's talk about your team. Luka Dean's still there to play tomorrow night. But look, 2 transfers in this week. Your hit was Mount and Jimenez in, which was
a disaster.
Pretty shocking, to be honest with you. Talk
us through
your team.
It was a total disaster. So basically, I didn't feel ready to wildcard for the majority of the time, and I wanted to see where we were with Bruno and all that other stuff we've been talking about.
Sure.
So I figured, taking a minus, once Sun was out, I was like, right, we'll take a -4. Now, to be honest, the only 3 players that I considered were Jota, who I couldn't get because I had Tsimikas.
Jota, yeah.
Jota, who I couldn't get because I had Simicast. So it then came down to a straight choice between Mason Mount and Torres. And I was slightly concerned that Torres might not play because of the amount of minutes he had over international break and sure. the Champions League. And I looked at Mount and thought, well, he always plays. And they've got a Villa-less... A Martinez-less Villa. And I can't get Lukaku, so I'll go Mount, who then got benched and didn't come on. However, having said that, also Simicast didn't come on, so I am getting the Livramento points off the bench. So it's not the end of the world. Yeah. But it is...
So jammy, those Livramento points.
It is a bit annoying. God, so obviously, I'm actually on... What am I on? 50... What am I on?
58 minus 4. So yeah. net 54. 283 points. So 1 point behind me.
Luka Dean versus Dominic Calvert-Lewin
against Dina, and a net.
I need a nil-nil.
You need a nil-nil. You absolutely do. Mango Tango Fango is saying Livramento coming on. That's so good. You're right. Jammy as hell.
No.
And some of the other guys are saying that actually Lee's team needs a wild card more than yours does, Sam. A lot of guys saying you don't need a wild card.
So right. I'll be really honest now. I was so annoyed yesterday. I think I hit the button in like annoyance.
It's a rage wildcard.
I think it might have been. Because actually this morning I woke up and I thought, did I hit the wildcard yesterday?
Yeah, Chris, and I looked at it. I'd argue Lee's team needs a wildcard more than Sam. I agree with you, Chris. I think mine does need it and I'm very tempted, but I don't think yours does.
Brilliant. Why didn't you tell me that yesterday?
Why did you do it yesterday?
So because I was looking ahead. So basically, I'll tell you the reason I did it yesterday. It's because my team was in dire straits yesterday. Like I had 24 points yesterday before obviously Salah and Trent have kind of saved the day today. But I looked at that team and I thought, what will my wildcard team look like in game week 7?
Yeah.
And what would my wildcard team look like if I did it now?
Well, Sam, there
was so little difference.
I can tell you what your wildcard might look like because you sent me it. So this is
this is my current draft.
Wildcard 1.0. And I say 1.0 because you're bound to tinker and change stuff over the course of the week. But right now, here are the key questions that you are looking at. So the Ronaldo versus Lukaku thing looks like right now you're siding towards the Chelsea man. Antonio, keep or sell? Right now looks like you're siding towards keep. The Wolves defence looks investable and you're going Semedo.
Yeah.
I've put Leeds midfielder ? Because you haven't gone for a Rafinha or Leeds forwards either, Bamford, right? So this team is lacking Leeds based on what we said before. It's also lacking some Arsenal, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised at that, given that the fixtures look all right, but it's you, so there's no chance you're going Arsenal. And then you've got the Jota and Torres and Greenwood conundrum, and you are going with one of those guys and going with Jota, but you're also keeping Mount. So,
well, Mount's going to drop in price tonight, so after this live stream, I'm going to take Mount out.
Right.
And probably put in Torres.
And bring him back in for 7.4? Is that the idea?
Probably, but okay. I'm going to see. Because there's a lot of... And also Benrahma's still in there, and I'm really not convinced I want both the West Ham boys anymore.
Fine.
So I am kind of pondering on taking Benrahma down to Gallagher. That's where my head is at the moment. If Benrahma goes to Gallagher, that would give me more budget so that I could then play around a bit with the rest of the peripheral.
I thought you said you had no Spurs. Ollie Skip?
Well, I've got Ollie Skip on the basis that...
He's 4.5.
And he will play every week if he's fit. And if Spurs can eventually, so I'm looking far ahead now, when the Spurs fixtures turn for the better, there is more potential with him to tick over a three-pointer than I think there is with like Billy Gilmore. All and right. That's where I am.
Okay. The guys are saying Mount is not dropping Sam tonight apparently, so you haven't got to worry not dropping too
tonight.
Much.
He was dropping tonight earlier according to Fix, but
okay.
Fine.
All right. One to keep an eye on.
If he slowed down, then great.
How locked in is that defence? I feel like if anyone was wildcarding this week, that's feeling like a pretty nailed on defence for the wild card. Trent and Shaw, yes, okay. We've discussed both of those. The Wolves defence, either Marcel or Semedo, depending on how thrifty you want to be. And then the two 4.0s, Williams and Livramento. The one thing I would say is no Chelsea defence.
No, but that's the Benrahma question. Because if Benrahma goes down to, say, Gallagher, frees up some money. I've got 0.9 in the bank with this squad. I think.
0.9, okay.
I think it's 0.9.
Okay.
So I have got the money then to go one of the... So I could potentially go even Williams up to Reece James, which is in my thinking.
Okay.
So I'm trying to kind of spread the love across the teams. I wanted triple Chelsea for game week 7. I'm not certain I want triple Chelsea today, but would I go Reece James and Lukaku today, not have Mount, have Torres instead, and then do that switch later? Potentially, yes.
Okay, Anthony Gary, thank you for the comment, Anthony. He is saying Shaw has a horrendous fixture list, though, Sam. Surely a Chelsea defender comes in for him, no?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't have any United if I don't have Shaw.
Yeah, okay.
And yes, I could go Greenwood, but I really want to understand what's going on with Rashford.
Okay. All right, so just for the benefit of the podcasters, here is the team in full. Sanchez and Steele in goal. The back four I mentioned before, Semedo, Trent, Shaw, Williams and Livramento. So the two 4.0 options at the back, which I think is going to be popular for those wildcarding. Mm. Then the midfield is Salah, Jota, Mount, Benrahma and Skip. And then up front, you've got Lukaku, Jimenez and Antonio. So very much a 3-4-3 we're looking there, aren't we? 3-4-3. So Jimenez, Lukaku and Antonio. Thoughts on doing the Jimenez to Huang maybe and save yourself a couple of million? Invest that in the midfield?
Yeah, I am. Possibly. Also, I am also seriously, and I know you think I'm joking when I say this, but I am seriously considering Pukki because I won't mind benching him. At the price he is, you don't mind benching it. Frees up more money.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, lots still to be discussed on the Sam Wildcard. Let's see where we're at throughout the week. I'm sure you'll be posting updates on Instagram.
Oh,
I'll be posting
sure
updates on the old Twitter. And talking of social channels, here we go. Lots of ways you can get in contact with us, either on Instagram, Twitter. The TikTok is going amazing, Sam.
Oh, God.
The TikTok is going off the, I was going to say off the chart, off the handle. It's going through the roof. The TikTok, absolutely amazing.
Does anyone care?
Yes, about 760 people care. Thank you very much.
Do they?
How many followers on the Facebook?
More than that.
Well, I was hoping we might have more on the TikTok before the end of this international break. Before, by this game week, I was hoping to have more on TikTok than Facebook. What I need is for all of you guys to go over to TikTok. Follow at FPL Family over on TikTok. No dancing, so don't worry about that. There's no singing or dancing or anything like that. Just good, low-quality FPL guff on the TikTok. It's like an FPL Family live stream, but in 15 seconds. Mm. Love it. So there we go.
And I'm not there.
So there we go. And you're not there, you see. So also, even more reason to follow.
Less of this TikTok malarkey. If you actually want to listen to what I've got to say, I am 40 followers away from 10K on Instagram.
40 followers away from 10K on Instagram. 10K is important, guys, on Instagram, because then you get the swipe up. So
well,
10K is very important.
They're getting rid of the swipe up.
No, you're joking. No. It's taking you ages to get to 10K.
They're getting rid of it. They are replacing it with a button. You get a
you're
button.
Joking.
No, so instead
we've sat here for months and said, come on, guys, we want to get to 10K to get the swipe up. Now they've been in it.
Well, you still will have to have 10K, but it will be a push to watch rather than a swipe up.
What the hell, Instagram? What the hell?
I mean, look, I would really appreciate it if you could come and follow me so that I can at least do one swipe up before Instagram decide to not have swipe
that's
ups
it.
Anymore.
That's it. When have they been in it? In
think,
a couple of weeks?
I think it's the end of September it's swapping ooh. To a button. So basically, I've got what?
3 weeks for 40 followers. There we go, guys. If everyone listen to the live stream that's on Instagram.
Just set up your own new Instagram.
Just set up a random account for your cat and get on Instagram and follow at FPL Family. That's all you need to do because 40 followers away from 10K, then you can do swipe up and then they can bin it and then you'll live a happy life.
Don't make him too random though because otherwise they'll say it's a bot and they'll delete them and then I'll go back again.
Doesn't matter. Just get to 10K, do your swipe up, then you can go back down again. It's fine.
They'll take it away again if I go under.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, okay, well. Okay,
so, you know, if you're going to set up an account for your cat, please actually post pictures of your cat.
Yeah, don't seem like a bot. Yes, that would be good. Are we on any official FPL shows or official FPL podcasts this week, Sam?
No.
Okay, good. Quiet week. Okay.
No official.
And you're doing your wild card. You're not on either the show or the pod.
I know they won't be happy, will they?
Oh, perfect week for you to be on.
Sorry about that. They
come
didn't
on.
Book me.
Get the Premier League on the phone.
But last
we
week
know
was
you've got them on speed.
Last
come
week
on.
Was super busy because I did my first appearance on the FPL Fan Zone with Jules
that
and Leroy
good.
On Tuesday.
Loved it.
Had the official podcast on Thursday morning, the official show on Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
This week coming is quite busy anyway because obviously, standard fantasy football scout stuff in play. So there'll be a Scout the Game week this week. There'll be, I think it's my pundit article week actually. I think there'll be a pundit article
Sam and Lee,
this
big question.
Week. There will probably be a Sam and Lee big question
yes.
this week as well. And I'll be, what else will I be doing? I will be doing a Q&A with Az, as always.
Very good. I'm enjoying those Q&As with Az.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, actually, to shout out to us, actually, because not just is he a top guy, and we went for a beer the other day, didn't we? It's very nice to see him. But also, on last week's Black Box, he was talking about how he thought the Crystal Palace game might be a bit of a wake-up call for Spurs. 100% right. You've gone right off him now, haven't you? You've gone right off him. As who?
Never mind that Q&A, I'm sacking
him. Never mind the Q&A.
No, I'll be on a Q&A with Az this week.
Brilliant.
Probably giving him some abuse.
There we go, guys. So thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family for another bumper episode. What are we at? 1.5 hours, sounds ridiculous. I'm trying to get this down to an hour.
We've got to go and check on the cat as well.
The cat's had a difficult week. I've got to go and check on the daddy long legs that I've just thrown out.
There's also a spider on the window there.
More insects here in the FPL family.
Because you've got the windows open and the lights on.
That's because it gets very hot in here. Guys, hope you enjoyed the live stream. Leave us a like before you go. And if you're new to the stream, make sure you hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell so you know when our videos are live throughout the week. Well done in game week 5. Good luck all those Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Luca Dean owners for tomorrow night. And we will see you this time next week when we'll be looking back at game week
6.
5. We'll be looking at game week 5 and how your wild card gets on.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Cheers, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.